Welcome to Amazon Legends, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became power sellers. Also providers specializing in helping sellers, aggregators that acquire sellers, and former Amazonians will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here is your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. And my next guest today, he's appeared before twice. And I'm so grateful for him because whenever he has something nobody knows about that or he discovers, this is his first stop. So we roll out. So last time he was here, he was talking about second phase listing optimization after you roll out. And he developed this methodology and he tested it. And once he started to see success, he wanted to share that with us. And today he's here again with something I've not heard anywhere else. In fact, I don't know that too many people know this. So we're going to dig into it. So with that, you remember, former English teacher, turned Amazon seller, turned a listing expert. So I never forget, first time he was on, we put his English language to test. And then we created bullets. So he's the founder of Guava Listings. And he works with brands, and also he has an Amazon SEO masterclass. He's a passionate traveler, and I'm not talking about taking the plane and going somewhere for a week. He goes, stays for months, and then on to the next place, on to the next place. So with that, everybody, meet my guest, Eddie Wheeler. Welcome back to the show, Eddie.
Yeah, thank you for that great intro. Yeah, happy to be back.
Oh yeah, I love the kind of stuff that you come up with. And so this time you have something. In fact, you and I met, and you said, "Here, take a look at what I found." And then I was kind of skeptical, and then you said, "Okay, I'm gonna play with this, and then we'll have to figure it out, and I'll come back." So now you're back, you figured it out. So give us the punchline. What is it that you found?
Yeah, so that geo-rank exists on Amazon. So essentially what that is, right, is that your product ranks for different keywords differently in different locations.
Oh my God. So if I'm looking for everybody's favorite example, Garlic Crusher, and let's say, I proudly go around saying, okay, I rank number 8 on Garlic Crusher. Well, then you're going to ask me, well, you rank 8 where?
Yeah.
So you may be 88 somewhere else, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. Essentially, yeah. So it's you could be ranked number 2 for Garlic Press, let's say, in Miami. And that's what a lot of the tools might be showing you, right? So you think you're ranked number 2, you're great, you're good, you're getting all these organic sales. Well, actually, so some of the major tools might be showing you ranked 2 for Garlic Press, let's say the keyword in Miami. And that's what they're showing. They're only showing one location. So it's not the full story. That's great that you're ranked number 2 in Miami, but you could be 27 in LA. You could be 100 in New York. So in those places, you're actually not making that many organic sales for Garlic Press.
So this is a very interesting subject. Interesting in many ways, because first of all, there is no more we rank whatever for a keyword.
Yeah.
And so we have to be able to test it. So we'll dig into this. And so during this episode, you will be able to take away some things that for you to test with and apply to your listings. And come up with some practical ideas of how to leverage this. So frankly, in my world of technology, I make an API call and I say, for this ASIN, for this keyword, what is my rank? And I get a number from Amazon system. So what is that number based on in terms of location?
Yeah, so, I'm not the best with the technology aspect of this, but essentially the way I understand it is that it's just showing you for one location. Now, that location, you know, I think that that might vary from time to time with a lot of the other software tools. Like, you know, maybe they're showing it to you from Miami, maybe they're showing it to you from New York. So they're only showing one location in those instances. But yeah, I mean, even if you go on to Amazon and you switch the different zip codes, right? Like, let's say you're looking, you know, let's say you live in Miami, but you now switch and like you can look up garlic press, right? And see which ones are ranked in Miami. You switch it to a zip code in New Jersey and some other ones, you know, some of the similar ones might be up there, but they're going to be most of the times in different orders. And you might see other products up there. So that's just an easy way for you to check it yourself. You know, Amazon has come out and said it, not using the term geo-rank, but they've put out different, you know, announcements pretty much describing the same thing.
Okay. So, I mean, I see this every day with my team members who are offshore. So because they are offshore, some of the products that ordinarily when I'm logged into my personal account and I'm based in New York, obviously anything pretty much FBA will ship to New York. So they show available and I never really paid attention to their rank where they appear. But if I ever log in to Amazon's site after they log in with my account, but because of their location, it changes. Then none of the products show available because they're FBA and they're not going to ship overseas.
Sure.
That we already know. So this is based on the account holder's location. The keyword rank changes. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but you can even if you, it's your shipping address, right? So, you know, when you log on to Amazon, of course, it's going to like be defaulting to your zip code. But if you were to go and you can change it, you can go in on Amazon yourself. So it doesn't matter where you are, you can change, you know, the delivery zip code to somewhere across the country. And then you're going to notice that different products are showing up, you know, ranked differently for, you know, once you start switching those zip codes up a little bit.
Well, I mean, but what happens is shipping address comes right at the end. So at the beginning, when you log in, so you have your, first of all, assuming that you're logged into your Amazon account, there is a default shipping address, right? So I'm assuming that as soon as they recognize this is you and they see your default shipping address, the search results are presented based on your default shipping address, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, for you. But you can even, on the like as you're searching, you could even change before you add to cart and everything like that. You can switch it. There's a, you know, it's to the left, I believe, where you can go in and click a different zip code while you're searching and you'll get different search results.
Okay. If you want to increase your rank in a particular location, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the first thing would be to, you know, be able to track it, right? So none of the major Amazon tools thus far are tracking this. They haven't really, I guess, found an economical way to do so. However, someone that I've partnered with will be releasing the tool sometime soon. You're listening to this at the end of 2023, sometime towards the end of 2023. And what that does is, right, it will show you across the board, right, where, you know, so instead of like trying to manually go in on Amazon and click this, it'll just show you for whatever keywords that you're looking for. And now, you know, really with something like this, you're kind of like probably looking at more of like your main, your 5 to 10 main keywords that are going to be the biggest sales generators and everything like that. And it will show you. And then, so once you have that data, you can say, well, okay, let's say for this white water bottle that I have in front of me, right? If you type in white water bottle, and you know, it'll show you like maybe you are already ranking very well in all these New York zip codes. Okay, so you can kind of just say, okay, well, we're already ranking well in New York, but you notice down in Miami, hey, like we're actually like at the end, you know, bottom page one or page two in most of these zip codes in Miami and Florida. And it can vary a little bit within the state and everything as well too. But let's just say you're at the bottom of page one on page two for white water bottle in Miami. So this is actually really all based on inventory levels, right? So, and expected demand, right? So, you know, so let's say you've been selling the white water bottle for past 5 years. Historically, it's done better in New York for whatever reason. Amazon will put a lot of your inventory in New York, which then, because it's closer to the customer, right? It's closer to most of the inventory is closer to the customer. That's what's making it show better. Of course, you need sales history and other things, right? This really isn't very applicable to a product launch necessarily, right? It's something that usually has a little bit more history selling, at least a few months. And then because it's closer, Amazon is showing it ranked higher because they know they're going to be able to get it to the customer quickly and cheaply. But for whatever reason, maybe down in Miami, it hasn't, you know, sold as well. So it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. So there's not as much inventory in Miami. So therefore, they're not prioritizing showing that because maybe a different white water bottle, there's more, you know, a competitor has way more inventory there. There's way more demand for it. So, of course, unfortunately, with Amazon PPC currently, there's no geo-targeting. However, with almost every other PPC platform has, geo-targeting, right? With designated marketing areas, DMA. So essentially, you can create Facebook ads, Google ads, TikTok ads, Pinterest ads, like whatever platform you're already using or whatever marketing methods that you used in the past to rank your products. You can do the same exact things, but just targeting Miami, and maybe you're a little bit weaker in Texas too. And you can slice and dice this, right? It doesn't have to be like that you are trying to do all this at once. And maybe you're going to focus on Miami for a month. And then once you start generating some demand there, what happens, right, is if you're just sending it to, if you're just sending a Facebook ad, let's say directly to your ASIN, you're going to get and they buy it, right? It's a third order ranking impact, a Tory. And now, of course, that's not going to necessarily launch you to, you know, rank 1 through 5 or something like that. But over, you know, it's going to give some keyword ranking juice to all of the keywords in that location. So Amazon now sees, you know, let's say over the month, 50 or 100 people bought from your Facebook ads. Amazon says, oh, there's actually interest for this product in Miami. We should send some more inventory there, which will start ranking you up. Now, if you still do things like search, find, buy, now I'm not saying that's what you should do, right? This is all up to you and your marketing methods of what you're currently doing. But if you did like a search, find, buy campaign on Facebook and directed it towards Miami, now, you know, that's directing it somebody to go and find the keyword. Now you're getting a first order ranking impact, which can actually really elevate it much quicker. So, you know, of course, you know, Amazon is, you know, discouraging search, find, buy at this point. So, you know, use it at your own risk, but it is something that you could use either way. You know, either way, you are generating more demand in that area, more inventory gets sent, and then you're going to see that product is going to start to rise in the keyword ranks there.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, you covered different ways of leveraging this. I'm listening to you. I guess the first order of business is to find out how you rank.
Yeah.
For the major locations, at least.
Yeah.
This immediately tells me that you should also know where your orders are coming from. So I think some analysis would be required by looking at your order history. Look at where your orders are coming from, and then flip that and see how you are ranking in those areas.
Yeah.
Then wherever you see some disconnects, like, for example, you're not ranking very well in a particular area, but most of the orders are coming from there, then you obviously want to rank up better because you're naturally doing better, even with the not such a strong rank. So you really cannot do much to improve your rank, but as you suggested, you can run an external campaign and make that campaign. So let me ask you, so with Facebook, you can target location by location, right?
Yeah.
So if you know that a particular area, say New York is doing the best, then you can just run a Facebook ad campaign and just limit it to New York area and then just send it directly to that ASIN. So it's going to sell anyway because you picked one that does the best. Then automatically Amazon is going to say, well, wait a minute, there is more inventory demand here. So they're going to shift the inventory there. And in turn, they're going to say, well, we better rank this up better in the New York area, right? I mean, am I assuming right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're already doing well in New York, right, but you want to even push it up even further, like that's, right, it's like you said, it's really about getting the data first, right, which this new tool that me and my partner are launching very soon will enable you to do. And then it's kind of up to you to make those decisions, right? So, you know, if you want to double down, right, let's say that your main keywords in New York are, you know, floating in the top 10, 15, but you want to push it always up to be in the top 5. So that's something that you could be doing as well. But it's like also if you want to do the method where you're trying to also, you know, do, but you know, you're not doing so, or you're doing, let's say, medium in Miami and you want to try to up that as well. Right. And then, so then it's like they would send, you know, yeah, they have inventory in New York, but also, you know, send some more inventory to Miami. And now you're actually doing better in each, right? You might even be able to get some more inventory, you know, capacity in, and, you know, everything like that, because they see that there's more demand across different areas of the country.
Yeah. If I was doing this for my own products, the first thing I would do is take all the orders. This is nothing to do with keywords. Just take all the orders. Even you can, it would be best to do this at SKU level and take, first of all, where the orders for a specific SKU came from. So if I received 1,000 orders, where did they come from?
Yeah.
We know that in America, 40% of the business comes from 4 states. So you have New York, Florida, Texas, California, right? So,
right.
That's it. So we know that they're going to be right at the top. So, but now we're not talking state. We are talking city, right?
Yeah. And even it could even vary a tiny bit within the cities. I mean, for the most part, right, you'll see them around the same, but it is switched up. You know, it's very, there's like over 1,100 micro markets that Amazon has split up.
1,100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 1,100 micro markets. So I would say, from which markets I've received orders on that SKU, that's 1,000 orders, how do they spread? And then, so this is nothing to do with keyword, but simply where the orders came from. I would not worry about the ones at the top, but I would go on in on the middle ones. And now go check where I'm ranking in that particular location for the keywords that deliver. In fact, you know what I would do? I would look at the search query performance. Plus the keywords, and then go check where I'm ranking for those keywords in that particular micro market.
Right? The search query report. Yeah, that's a good way to kind of get a handle, you know, on all of that too. So
yeah, and then I could so if I see that my keyword rank in that location is not so high, then I could run an external campaign limited to that particular location. We are not doing anything directly to influence the rank, but by simply bringing more orders from that location, Amazon will shift the inventory there and therefore have you rank higher, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And then you're getting more orders, right? It's that chicken and egg type of thing, you know, as everything with ranking on Amazon kind of is, right? You need the sales. But now it's just, you know, everyone has that intuitive understanding, right? It's just now you just have to be, you know, aware of what you're ranking for and what location and kind of how to like slice and dice that up and, you know, just target based on that.
Yeah, that's cool. So we figured out one way to use this. So tell us more. What else can you do with this?
Yeah, I mean, so there's others, you know, we mentioned Facebook, Google Ads, all those classics. Now, of course, Amazon PPC doesn't have geo-targeting yet. Yeah, hopefully that's something that does come around eventually. And I'm not an expert with this platform, but Amazon DSP does allow, you know, so you can like, you know, kind of, you know, you can use the Amazon DSP ads to also geo-target locations. You know, another use case, right? Now, let's say you are selling a seasonal item. Let's say you're selling a bathing suit. Instead of, you know, if you have the awareness, right, instead of just saying, okay, like I'm going to get no sales during this winter because that's what every winter, you know, comes. It's a bathing suit. Of course, it's not going to sell well in the winter, which is, of course, you're going to sell more in the summer, of course. However, you know, if you're aware of what you're ranking for, you know, for your bathing suits are ranking for in Texas, in California, in Florida, right? You know the ranks, and even like getting down to the very granularly, like the different counties and cities and stuff, and all of these locations. Well, you know, you can use your marketing budget to try to, again, you know, now you're aware of where you're ranking. Okay, we're doing really well in Austin. But hey, actually, like this area of Florida, we're not doing so well in, or you know, we're doing really well in Miami, but we're not selling any in Orlando for whatever reason, right? So you can allocate your marketing budget, right, so that Amazon is sending again inventory to those locations, and then all of a sudden, wow, it's not such a slow winter, right? You actually are still making sales for your bathing suits in winter. You're just very much targeting, you know, different areas of Florida, different areas of Texas, and so on.
Well, I mean, look, we live in a huge country, right?
So
you have, there is no summer winter season in many places. And I lived in Florida and I live in New York. So, you know, in Florida, it's summer all year long. So, in fact, I know this. One of my clients who does floor coverings, you basically use epoxy to redo your garage all by yourself. It's a kit. And they said that people do this in the summer. And they are based in New Jersey. And he said, we're not going to really sell much in the winter. And we launched it on January 18th. And it's an expensive item, like $700. And within like 6 weeks, we had a daily sell-through rate of about 3 orders a day in the winter.
Yeah.
So, and orders were coming from, of course, all over. So clearly nobody was doing their garage or their driveway, you know, when it was snowing.
Right.
So it must have been coming from other places. So this is something that definitely would work. So and especially if somebody is selling seasonal items, another way to leverage this geo-targeting would be make sure that if you are selling seasonal items, depending on what season you are, those areas, those micro markets that are the current season, that was suitable for the current season, then make sure that you're ranking well, right? That's what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly, right? And you could even start that a little bit before, right? Like preemptively start, you know, marketing in that area so that by the time it's really cold up north, then, you know, you're ranked really well all across these warm states and, you know, every single little micro market in those states.
How do you get a list of these micro markets? Can you share with us? Is there a list?
I don't know if Amazon publishes a list or not. I just know that, you know, while I've been playing around with the tool that my partner is going to be launching soon, that it separates them all out, right? So I don't know if Amazon publishes an exhaustive list of that. Yeah, sorry. Wish I had a better answer.
So this is I guess you call these micro markets for geo targeting. Maybe
yeah, some... yeah, for geo rank, yeah, for geo these rank. Different, yeah, it's like, you know, each of these 1100 markets could be showing, right, you know, have separate keyword rankings, right, for different products. Now, a lot in the same area might be very close, or they might actually be the same, but yeah.
I have a question for my listeners. Are you experiencing cash flow challenges with your Amazon business? Well, silly question. Who is not, right? So let me introduce you to Viably, a unique solution tailored for Amazon sellers and e-commerce enterprises. By connecting your Seller Central or Shopify account, you can promptly access funding along with a variety of financial tools, all for a flat fee. It's as simple as that. And for my listeners, they are offering an extra $1,500 in funding for eligible applications. Start your quick and easy application today at runviably.com/legends. And that's runviably.com/legends. So you share the idea of external advertising. So if you are running an external ad that you can target geographically, you can do by using Amazon advertising. Is there anything you can do there?
Yeah. So unfortunately with Amazon PPC, there really, you know, isn't at this point. Now there is something that you can do with SEO though, which is nice, right? So kind of going along with what I shared last time that I was on the show, that at that SEO level 3. So essentially what that is, right, is at that point, I was only using a single keyword tracker, right? The same concept will still apply. So essentially, right, with SEO level 3, it's if you were ranked 20 through 50 and, you know, on these valuable keywords, you identify valuable keywords ranked 20 through 50, and then you repeatedly get them in the listing, right? So for the white water bottle example, right, you would put white water bottle in the title, in the bullets, in the product description, in the A+ content plain text, in the A+ content alt text. And what that, you know, not it's not a 100% guarantee because there's obviously a lot of factors to ranking, but what that was shown to do is start ranking those products or the keywords that were ranked 20 through 50, 1 through 19, a lot of times in the top 10, right, over a month or so. So that was using one keyword ranking tracker. But what you could do is if you are, especially now, this might not be as helpful if you're trying to get ones that are ranked like 100 up. But if you are looking at, you know, let's say again, the example, your garlic press, you're ranked 20 or 30 in, you know, you're in Miami and you're really targeting, hey, I really want to do better in Miami or this general area of Florida, or maybe there's a few areas, maybe you're 20 through 50 in Texas as well. And in California, you're just doing good in New York and the Midwest or whatever it might be. So now that you, if you are ranking already 20 through 50, now the same thing, getting those listing, you know, so, you know, white water bottle for hiking, you know, whatever it might be, whatever, you know, the best keywords are. And so for that, while you're doing your side traffic marketing, your Facebook ads, Google ads, TikTok ads, whatever, while you're doing that for Miami and Texas, or, you know, also put those keywords into your listing multiple times, right? So make sure that, of course, you're not going to fit all your targets in the title, but, you know, make sure that every single one of your targets is in the bullet points, make sure it's in the product description, make sure it's in the A+ content plain text, in the A+ content alt text. And that should have a boosting effect in itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really the opportunity is in the SEO.
So I would say primarily the opportunity is in, you know, geo-targeting with these off Amazon PPC platforms, but SEO, ongoing SEO can absolutely help you along the way as well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you have to be doing optimization all the time, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm also assuming that this GeoRank doesn't really stay the same. So it changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your experience with it? How often does it change? Like, for example, bestseller rank. And bestseller rank, you look at it 10 times a day, it's going to be different every time, right? So how does this rank based on location?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it can change daily. Typically, right, it's not a huge... you know, huge swaths of change, but you know, it does, you know, so it's really like, you know, with, especially with the tool, right, it's really showing ranges, right? Maybe for, you know, this week or this week, you know, you were ranked 1 through 5, right? And if you maintain a rank of 1 through 5 for a week or a few weeks in a row, you know, you're solid in that location, right? Or, you know, 1 through 10 or whatever it might be. So it does change, you know, and it can change like daily. But it, typically, especially if it's an established product, right, it's not going to be these huge jumps.
Okay. So different rank for different locations. We can't do much with Amazon advertising, Amazon PPC. We need to use external. And the name of the game is really drive more business in an organized manner based on locations. Therefore, have Amazon shift more inventory.
That will
ultimately push your rank up.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get the organic sales, and then the flywheel kind of, you know, keeps going. So,
yeah. Okay, cool. So tell us about your tool, or can you not talk about it too much?
It's GeoRank Tracker is simply like what we're calling it. It's the GeoRank Tracker. It's just going to, you know, instead of trying to go through on every single Amazon zip code and try to find out where you're ranked, right? It will show you where you're ranking, right? It can, you can upload your inventory reports. So there's ways to like see exactly where your inventory is, everything like that. And it's got multiple views, right? There's a view where you just see a map of the United States and you'll see different ranks according to that. There is, you know, a view where you can see how you're doing for all the keywords that you choose to look for. It again, probably, you know, you should focus per product, you know, your 5 to 10 heaviest hitters or potentially heaviest hitters when you're looking at that. And then also see, you know, how, you know, over, you know, each day, what it's looking like, right? So you can kind of get an idea of the progress, and, you know, how you're doing over the span of a week or a month or, you know, things like that. And so it's really just showing you the data, right? It's getting you the data. And then that's where you go in and make, you know, it's not running Facebook ads for you or anything like that. It's just giving you the data. And then it's for you to, you know, to kind of slice and dice, and it, you know, helps you organize everything. And yeah.
Okay. So what is the input? The input is the, you are you then inputting the keywords?
Yeah. You essentially, right, you can, you would order the keywords, and then you input that. It gives you a CSV file, then you input that into the tool, and then that's kind of what gives you all these like different ways of looking at the data. Okay. And then you can import your inventory reports into this tool, and it kind of, that's where all the interface, that's what it's showing you.
And how do you use the inventory report? Because if I give you the list of keywords and then I say, okay, show me where these keywords are ranked, why do you need the inventory report?
Yeah, it's just gonna give you, right? It's gonna maybe like paint a better picture, right? So you can see like maybe why you're doing, you know, well, right? Because in Texas, well, because half of my inventory is in the Dallas warehouse, let's say, right? And so it's just to kind of like help paint a picture. And then you can see over time, right? Maybe you come back in a month and you see, okay, my geo-targeting campaigns are working in Florida because now there's more inventory in the Florida, you know, in the warehouse that's closest to Miami or in Miami.
Okay. So you could, it's possible that you could rank high in one location and inventory may show low because Amazon decided not to keep too much inventory there. That's possible, right?
It's possible, but typically there is going to be a correlation, right? Like if you are ranked well, there is typically going to be more inventory closer to that areas that you're ranked.
I mean, I can see why, but I just want to ask you the question. So why do I need to know the GeoRank? Why can't I just download the inventory report, just track the inventory location? Doesn't that automatically tell me wherever I have the most inventory, Amazon already figured out that's where they're keeping most inventory. And wouldn't I then be able to tell, okay, this is where I rank better?
Yeah, I mean, like that's like definitely it's not impossible to do it that way. But I think, you know, with the very, you know, the more data, the more power that you have, right? And so it's like, it's not just breaking down, right? You know, it's breaking down like per location, showing you over the time the exact keyword ranks, right? You can have a general idea that because there's more inventory here and you're, you know, more of your sales, you know, okay, maybe you're ranking well there and not here, but you don't know exactly, right? You don't know, and you don't know, you know, you could be ranked, you know, there might be low inventory in Miami, but you're ranked 20 to 40. Well, you still have a really major opportunity, right? To still, you know, so it's like using that data, or maybe it's in South Carolina, North Carolina that you're ranked 20 to 50. You don't know exactly, right? And so like getting this data will give you the power to then, you know, okay, let's hone in on Florida because we're ranked 20 to 50. You know, maybe in, you know, in South Carolina and North Carolina, we can do that later. They're ranking 100 there, you know, where we're ranking in the hundreds there. We can tackle that at a later date. Let's double down on where we have the best opportunity. Yeah.
Plus, I mean, not everything is real time, right? So it's possible that one thing that you never know is the consumer behavior. So suddenly there may be a heavy concentration of searches on some keywords, and you may get orders from a particular location, but Amazon may not necessarily have inventory there yet. So the only way for you to say, okay, I'm getting more orders from here, is if you know the geo rank, right? Just the inventory will always be lagging behind concentrated activity. And then sure. I'm sure Sam will say, okay, I'm going to move so much. But it will always be lagging behind what's going on. So, but if you know the geo rank, then you are ahead of it. And in fact, you can even influence Amazon's movements by, if you know the rank, then you can run external campaigns and bring more orders from that location. And then that will influence Amazon even more.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this adds another dimension to the whole work, right?
It does. Yeah, it does. And yeah, I think there's going to be maybe some people that are like hesitant with it, or, you know, but it exists, right? And, you know, GeoRank absolutely exists. And it's really a question of, are you going to use it to your advantage, or are you going to kind of just do nothing and, you know, just kind of spray and pray that you make more sales, right? So,
yeah. I mean, it becomes a leaky bucket, right? So you will be spending money on PPC, and then you will be, for starters, anybody running external campaigns, they've got to do this. They've got to know where they rank so that they can get better return. And also, of course, keywords, picking the keywords. And but I'm thinking, definitely collaboration between the search query performance data and the geo ranking data.
Yeah.
That's one way where you can get the most out of it, and then couple it with external advertising. So without external advertising, then you're back to just doing optimization on the listing itself with the content, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to oversell how powerful just doing SEO alone would be. You know, I really do think you would need to do some sort of external PPC marketing, you know, off of Amazon. Of course, still doing Amazon PPC, but I think, you know, the SEO is a powerful tool in the arsenal, but it's one part of the tool set to make sure that you're ranking higher.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said your tool is going to be available at the end of the year?
Sometime very soon. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, I do have a newsletter going out all about GeoRank. You know, I'm still learning a lot about this, don't get me wrong. So, you know, as I learn, I'm putting more stuff onto that newsletter. And yeah, at some point I will be hosting a webinar, but if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get all that information.
Okay. So tell us again, how can people register for your newsletter?
Yeah. So, you know, we will hopefully have a link maybe on this episode, but if you go to guavalistings.com, I don't have it up at this moment, but I will make that a top priority to have the newsletter sign up link as the pop-up for guavalistings.com.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a big deal in terms of getting more out of the advertising spend for external.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to get a higher ROI on your advertising spend. Yeah.
And also, of course, awareness is everything. So what I want to know is, because I can understand when you go to Amazon website and then you plug in a search term, it knows where you are and then it may give you. But with API calls, I would love to know what they are, because API calls are just, they're agnostic, you know.
Right. Yeah, I'm the marketer. I'm not the tech guy. So my partner's the tech guy. I would love to know as well, but yeah, I'm just, I can't really speak to that.
Another way we track is when we are monitoring the performance of a listing and everything we're doing about it. We're looking at the keywords that we're targeting and how their rank is fluctuating day over day. So now this brings that rank into question. Okay, what is that rank based on? Because we're getting the rank. I mean, if you do it manually, you can go to Helium 10 or Jungle Scout, one of the others, and just plug in the ASIN and it tells you where you rank. So where are they getting that?
Yeah, rank? So I believe it's just from one location. I don't know which location that is.
Yeah. In your experience, something that ranks, you know, whatever it ranks in one location and it's different in another, is the variance huge?
It can be. You know, so there are some, you know, there's some keywords. So for example, my partner ran a case study where he was looking at a clean and clear, it was an acne product. It had been on Amazon for 10 years, sells 7,000 units a month, right? And there's some keywords, right? There's a few keywords that were consistently ranked 1 through 5, where their product is ranked 1 through 5 for some of them. But there's other ones where it was, you know, the rank, let me actually look, I have it right here. I think it was one of the main keywords, acne treatment, right, for this product, 7 to 107. Or 6 to 107. They're one of the functions of the tool is to show you the rank range throughout the whole country. And so, yeah, so acne treatment, right? Some places it was number 6, some places it was 107. So there could be a really huge variance. Yeah, there could be a really huge variance.
So are you guys going to be, or have you done already a specific, like a case study type information where before this geo-ranking, using geo-rank, what was the ad spend, what was the return on it and sales, and then after using geo-rank, what was the result, and then compare the both scenarios? Do you have something like that?
My partner has been working on this a lot longer than I have, so he's got some stuff with that. And pretty much, like, you know, that will be part of what I'm putting in the newsletter, and just like kind of the general education that I'm getting out there. My main goal really at the moment is, right, is just to get the word out there, you know, get people educated about it, and then, you know, take it from there. But that is the main goal of this podcast and, you know, my newsletter and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is extremely interesting. It just adds one more layer of complexity into analyzing your data. And of course, there is also, so the orders, when you receive an order, you have the billing address and you have the shipping address. So Amazon does not share all that information fully. but you know where it is being shipped to, right? So you know the location of it. They show the state, but I don't know if they show the city. I think they show the city and the state, I think.
I believe so. Yeah.
So based on that, you can kind of analyze where orders are coming from and then match that up to the keywords. Well, the interesting stuff, it never ends. And especially with the AI revolution, everything now has AI, and everybody is trying to figure out how do I use AI. And now you have this geo-ranking business, one more layer.
It never ends, but you know, it's about the journey, man. It's never, there's no destination, right? It's just always improving and learning.
Talk about journey. Tell us about your travels. So when you and I first met, you were in Hawaii, right?
I was in Hawaii. Yeah. Then I think that the second time we spoke was in Mexico City, and now I'm in Medellin, Colombia. So yeah, I've been traveling around the world for the last 6 years. As you mentioned, right, I went to Vietnam to teach English, but I didn't want to do that forever, but still wanted to stay living abroad. So that's how I kind of got into the Amazon world, launched a product or two, but quickly realized that, I had a very natural affinity for listing optimization, marketing, stuff like that. So kind of switched gears to Guava Listings, the Amazon SEO and marketing agency. And from there, yeah, just been able to, I was in Vietnam for 4 years, Thailand for a year, Mexico City for a year, and now Medellin, Colombia. It's just been a few months. And yeah, it'll be a few more months more. I'm enjoying it. It's a good spot. I'm really learning. My Spanish is rapidly improving.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Colombia and Mexico, both. Is there a difference in terms of, like, I don't want, because I wouldn't understand because I don't speak language, but different words, different accents?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have unique, words that they use for different situations and stuff. And I would say the accent, there's certain areas of Mexico that the accent is clear. They speak slowly. Mexico City, I didn't really find that the case. It was very quick. And also Mexico City, there's much higher level of English than here in Colombia. So, in Mexico City, I got away with speaking English a bit, even if I didn't want to. Like if I was in an area, someone might just speak to me, like the server or the store attendant might just start speaking to me in English. Here, that's not the case. And it's actually not impossible, but it's more rare to find an English speaker here. So I found that I have to really, it's actually, it's really good for me that, I'm having to use Spanish way more in my day to day. It's what I want to be doing. And their accent here, they do speak a bit slower and their accent's a bit more clear.
And when the first time you had occasion to travel and stay a long time was when you taught English in Vietnam, right?
When I was a student, I lived in the Netherlands for 6 months. So that was like my very first experience with it. And that's what made me want to keep doing it. But yeah.
Yeah, I remember because that was a big game changer for you, right?
Yeah, in the Netherlands, that was the biggest game changer, right? Because that I decided I didn't want to be a lawyer anymore, that I wanted to find a way to travel the world and live in different places. Huge confidence boosts, things like that. So that was my first, and then following up, had to go back, finish school, did a year of work to save up some money, and then bought a one-way ticket to Vietnam to teach English. Yeah.
That was it. I remember now. It was your lack of self-confidence.
Yeah.
That's what got cured with your first experience in Netherlands. And then you go, wow, the more I travel, the better I feel about myself. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, for anybody who has that kind of, because, this is a common problem. People were never certain about what we can do. And this is, so traveling is, so how do you pick where you're going to go next?
Yeah, so I've had a list for a while since I got to Vietnam, and then like I started dreaming more of being like having my own online business and stuff. I knew I wanted to be in Vietnam for a while. Thailand, Mexico, Colombia is actually the last place that I've like that's been on my list, and from here I'm not really sure what's going to happen. But yeah, just like just. I watch a lot of travel YouTube, so like finding places that I find interesting from travel YouTubers, places where there is like a community of people that foreigners going to work online. So obviously Thailand is one of the number one places for that. So that was an easy be on the beach. That was an easy choice. Mexico City is also another like kind of conglomerate of people working online and living there. And yeah, Medellin was as well. So. It's there's kind of there's a lot of information, right? Okay, where's the best cafes? Where's the best co-working spaces?
Hell yeah.
Like, other people that are doing the same thing kind of have done it before, and it's easier. Of course, you need to know that you're gonna have a good internet connection, things like that. And just places that I, so there's all that, but then also just kind of like a feeling in my gut that's pulling me to certain places. So from here, I'm thinking about maybe going to Buenos Aires, but also, since I've kind of ticked off the bucket list of places I want to live, I might just go back to the places I know I like. So go back to Mexico City, go back to Thailand, go back to Vietnam. So we'll see.
Well, I have a suggestion for you. It may be, along the lines of the places you live. To me, it's a natural. I'm surprised you didn't think about it. I'm sure you did, but maybe you didn't. Bali, Indonesia.
So I would definitely would I would consider it. It's very kind of overrun by people now that are doing this. And so like yeah, the prices have gone up, and it's just but I think it depends on where you go in Bali, right? There's kind of like the digital nomad haven of Canggu that's kind of overrun a little bit now.
Yes.
So yeah, but I would consider it. It's definitely not a no.
Well, it's definitely a fun way to live. How many suitcases do you have, or how many bags do you have?
Just two. Yeah, just two. No, I'm very much a minimalist. I mean, there's some stuff that I keep, stored at my dad's house, just really, but really just like a tub or two of random, stuff. But for other than that, my whole life it's on two backpacks, so one that is, gets checked, and then the other that's a carry-on, and I can fit everything that I need in that. So,
You like a turtle, you carry your home on your back.
yeah.
Cool. Well, great. So share with us your contact information again, at least so people can reach your newsletter.
So, guavalistings.com is the best place to find me, and we'll have that newsletter as a pop-up link. Very soon, and or just Eddie at guavalistings.com if you want to email me. You can find me on LinkedIn and message me there. But probably the best is yeah, emailing me at Eddie at guavalistings.com.
Cool. Well, as always, you bring us all the good stuff. And thank you very much. Thank you for being
Yeah.
here.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Nick.
Before I go, a quick reminder to say goodbye to your cash flow problems and claim your extra $1,500 when you qualify for $25,000 or more in funding. Go to www.runviably.com/legends and start your application today. Thank you, and this brings us to the end of another episode, and I'll see you on the next one.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the episode, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it too.